Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the poor in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim.
Musicians, y'all can be seated. And I just want to say that was absolutely awesome service, song service. Just the spirit of the Lord back there. All I can do is cry back there. That's usually what I do when he comes. Amen. I want to speak to you on a thought the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. It's good intentions versus God's way. Good intentions versus God's way. How many knows that you can have good intentions and it not be God's way?
Right.
Yeah, that's what's happened all down through the ages. And that's what we are here for, is we want to be in God's way. Amen. We desire his leadership in our life. We desire his blessing on our life. And, you know, I crave God's favor. I desire that he could help me. Because, you know, it's just like a garden. You can do all the work and everything, but if he don't give you favor, it won't produce nothing. And that's what I want for my life. I want it in my children. I want it in my friends, my family, our church, is I desire his favor. That, you know, and if I need to tweak something, if I need to change something, Lord, show me what I can do to gain your favor. And I know that's every wife's desire for your husband, is you want his favor. You know, you want to work according to his will. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. And this is going to sound like a very interesting opening text, but that's the way the Lord led me to go. So we're just going to trust him and ask him, he'll help me to get out of the way to say what he wants to say. It says, and it come to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, took bribes, and perverted judgment. And all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and come to Samuel at Ramah, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. I thank you for this opportunity to be here. I ask you that you would take control of my vocal cords, Lord. Lord, take control of my body, of everything that's in me, Lord, that I'll say nothing out of cater, Lord, but everything will be exactly according to your will, Father. Yes. Lord, touch your people, Lord. You are the reason that we're here today. It's to worship you, Lord. Yes. Come and speak to our hearts, Lord. And Lord, give us increase in our walks with you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, judges in the Bible, they weren't necessarily like a judge in a courtroom. But, you know, they were like a deliverers, they were military leaders, they were spiritual leaders, and they were like civil leaders. And this was a very sticky situation. These boys were in a leadership position, but they were not walking upright according to what the way their father was. And I thought that's very interesting in scriptures is prophets' own children were not serving the Lord like they should. And, you know, imagine how that must have grieved him, you know. But these boys were in a leadership position. They were not walking upright. And Samuel had good intentions on raising his sons in the right way. How many believe that? Yeah. You know, the name Joel, when they named their sons, the name Joel comes from the Hebrew Yol, which means Yahweh is God, and the Lord is God. And the name of his other son is Abiah, as of the Hebrew origin, means my father is Yahweh, or Yahweh is my father. You know, these boys were named by their father to fit their role as a judge. You know, Samuel was not a spiritually ignorant man. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So Samuel knew enough about God to see that God has identified himself through a name. And there have been several men and women who have proclaimed who they was by the manifestation of who they were by their name. Their name spoke of who they are, what they will do, their actions. So think of this Samuel, when he named his sons, he named them with a name that would look like this would be a good judge. Yahweh is my father. This is going to be a good judge. But yet, even though Samuel, with good intentions, named his sons in this direction, they were not serving the Lord like they should. They were taking bribes. They were doing filthy things in the sight of God. For me, when we look at the scriptures of how the people wanted a king, if you look at it at a quick glance, you're like, man, you guys are crazy. Why would you want a king when you have this? But look at the situation they were dealing with. They were under these judges that were not walking upright according to the prophet, showing it. They saw how Samuel lived his life, but they were not living like Samuel. They were not conducting themselves like Samuel. So these people, the elders, saw this and they said, you know what? We don't want them to be our judge. Let us go this way. We want to choose a judge, a king over us, that he will judge over us faithfully. If you look at face value, did it look like he was making the right decision? Sure it does. They're saying you from face value looking, they're like, wait a minute, these people are taking bribes. These people are not living according to the word. These people are not doing that. Let us choose a king. That way we can serve somebody. Good intentions. But it was not God's blessing. You know, Samuel, talk about the name, naming his children. His mother, Hannah. The name Hannah is of the Hebrew origin, means grace, favor, or gracious, God's gracious gift. It comes from the Hebrew word, Hannah, meaning grace or favor. In the Bible, Hannah is known as the mother of the prophet Samuel. Her story emphasizes prayer, faithfulness, humility, and God's grace. Imagine Samuel, through his life, hearing the testimony of his mother. Imagine Samuel going through a life. They said, Tim, let me tell you something, Samuel. Your mother, that was a Christian. Your mother cried out to God to the point people thought she was drunk. Your mother had such a testimony, Samuel, and her name even means God's favor, Samuel. Imagine Samuel as a small child raising up, hearing the testimony of his mother and her name and how her life manifested that. Imagine the prophet taking that and allowing it and naming his children to point them in the right direction with good intentions.
Right.
There's so many people in the message with good intentions. We're doing all we can do to point them in the right way. But it takes God's favor to be able to make things work. Right. Hannah's experience was a representation of her name. And Hannah's experience was so profound that it's written in the Bible. Samuel had heard eyewitness testimonies of what I just mentioned about her name. Samuel understood the value of a name. Of hearing a prophet being born, but not just any prophet, himself. Samuel was able to see himself in the scriptures where I was brought forth by a name. But we can give somebody a name and ourselves, that don't mean nothing. It takes God's name.
Right.
It takes God. Just like a church, we can put a name on a church, but it takes God to put his name on a church. On the individual, we can put a name on it. I am a believer. It takes God to put the vindication on it. And I know that's all of our desire. We want him. And I got to get past this hump, and we'll get to what we're trying to say. Not just being a prophet, but to be any prophet, but he saw himself. And Samuel saw himself in the Word, and he tried his best to replicate that manifestation in through his children. Samuel knew enough to know that he couldn't make his children prophets, but he made them judges. Think about Samuel's motive. I want to keep the Word straight. And if you think spiritual with me, there's a prophet that's got sons. And he wanted to keep the Word straight. What has happened with it? Samuel had good intentions. And I'll say this with respect. Brother Brunham had good intentions. I'm sorry. When someone comes up there and speaks and says, you don't need a fivefold ministry anymore, you need to step up there and push play, I'm telling you, that's false doctrine.
That's right.
It don't matter who it is.
Right.
It's false. Romans chapter 11, verses 29, it says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Samuel, being a prophet, knew he could not just make his sons a prophet. Samuel, with good intention, was trying to keep the church straight. And he knew he could not live forever, and with good intentions, he was trying to leave the message in good hands. And Samuel knew he would be parting soon, and using spiritual insight, he was trying to align his sons in the right way to keep the message straight. Even with Brother Branham's best intentions, he said, you got questions, you go to these brothers. They'll help you keep you straight. With good intentions. And then the very same men will take the message and start pointing it toward another direction.
Yep. Right.
With good intentions. Brother and sister, I don't want just good intentions. I want to be right.
That's right.
You know, if you're shooting a gun and you're shooting real close, you might get real close to the target, but the further that target goes out, you're going to be further off. And
right.
Here we are today, and so many people around the message got so far off base, brother
right.
and sister. It's scary.
Right.
Like, how in the world could you get that from the message?
Right.
I'm so thankful we've got a good ministry here that will
Amen.
Keep you stayed on the Word. And you don't know how to appreciate it if you don't have it. Just like having good parents.
Right.
If you don't know what it's, all you see is your parents, and all you see, you don't know what's out there. You don't know what you got
right.
to appreciate that from.
Right.
But you get out there for a little while, and you're like, my gosh, what is going on out here? Stuff you didn't even know about. Why? Because you've got an umbrella over you that keeps a lot of that nonsense off of you. You never get to think about. Being in a good Christian home, that's what it is with being in a good Christian church, that will keep you stayed right on the center of the Bible.
Right.
Yeah. Tony and I are pretty different in some ways. I like to get a little excited. He's more solemn and forward. Not a thing wrong with it. Man, it's wrong with being too excited and wrong with being solemn. But I think you need to pull a little in the middle. Right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they call that? Teamwork.
Right.
I'm a little more excited. My wife's a little reserved. Giddy up. Amen. We don't want just good intentions. We want God's favor. And I wonder if the sons of the prophet tried to persuade the people that they don't need counsel anymore and all you got to do is just hit play. I wonder if the sons of Samuel, doing what they did, says, you know what, we've got the prophet's words. But the people with good intentions were saying, we need to get a king. They were speaking with good intentions, and the elders were seeing how these boys were not walking according to Samuel. The message was right. People could look and say, Samuel's right. We say it this way. People could say, the message the prophet brought is right. But they've seen a lot of elders that have not been walking according to what the prophet brought.
Right.
And because they see that they're not walking according to what the prophet brought, they said, you know what? We need a king. We need to get something different. That way we can control what's going on with good intentions.
Right.
It's a sticky situation. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 3 through 20. It says, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, took bribes, perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and come to Samuel unto Ramah. and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, and they said unto him, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken to the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign on them. I don't want to read all these scriptures all the way down. But I will go down to, let's go to verses 18. Before this, and I don't need all the scriptures, for the sake of time, he's saying, when you take this king, you're going to have to give a tenth of this to them, you're going to have to serve the king, you're going to give everything to the king. And people said, nevertheless, I want a king. I want to serve the king. But for time, let's go down to verse 18. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. I'm going to say this again. The devil is a slick devil. He's not going to trip them up by saying, Hey, I want you to start a denomination. He took something that made it look like they were making the right decision to get out of the sticky situation they're in, because these people are not serving the Lord. You go serve the Lord with a clean heart. The devil was trying to trick them. Satan knew if he could get his toenail in the door, he would eventually get all the way through the door. Satan will look for a little bitty leeway to get inside your heart, friends. Listen to me, sisters. Satan will try so hard with just a little bit of color on the eyes, on the eyelashes. Nobody will know. Just a little bit. Because when you put that little bit, nobody will notice. Everyone, you know what that is? A toenail in the door. He'll tell you, you can trim your hair just a little bit. Nobody will know anything about it. Just a little snip. You know what that is? A toenail in the door.
Right.
Brothers, he'll tell you, you can give up. It's all right. You can wear clothes that are just kind of tight because you were kind of a muscular kind of fellow. You can't really control that. So it's okay to wear that. You know what that is? A toenail in the door.
Right.
Because when you're wearing those tight clothes, you begin to give in a little bit. That devil will not stop there. It's like having mice in your house. We had a few mice. I mowed in front of the yard and where these flower bushes were by the pool. And we got into a mouse nest that we did not know was there. Well, guess where they went? I took their home away. They tried taking my home. They came in the house.
Right.
And you know what? They didn't just stay in one area of the house. Little by little by little, them little critters were going all through the house. And me and Mama went mouse killing. Because you know what? If we let those things stay inside the house, there'll be droppings here, this here, this here, and we're clean people, okay? We like a clean house.
Right.
Yeah. But you know what? Because those things were there, they were little stinky things. They're everywhere. You'd go around and bring such a rage on the inside, and there ain't nothing that can stink so bad as a dead mouse.
Right.
That's exactly the way the devil is. He'll try to get you to give in just a little bit and let him get his toenail inside there, because friends, he will not stop there.
Right.
You eventually, you'll start with the tight clothes or the little bit of the stuff on your eyelashes that nobody else will know about except for you and God. He'll put those things there. What's he doing? Little by little by little by little, he'll tempt you, and the next thing he'll do, you'll put the powder inside of your face.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows about it. They're just you and God. You're doing it in reverence. That devil will not stop there. He will continue on, continue on, continue on until he can finally set the hook. You know, part of crappie fishing is you wait. You don't jerk it all at once. You let it hit the bottom and then come down. Let it hit it a couple minutes. Let it hit it again. Let it hit it. And then you set the hook, and then you got it. And that's exactly the way the devil works.
Right.
I got away with it. How many times did Samuel think he got away with it with the Delilah? He would go with the lava and knew he shouldn't be doing the things he was doing, but he kept doing it anyway. And you know what? I got away with it. Must be okay. I got away with it. Must be okay. And that bobber's going down just like that.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And all Satan's doing is waiting for the appropriate time to set the hook. And then once you get that hook inside you, the harder you fight, the worse it digs in.
Right.
And friends, that's exactly the way the devil works. He'll work it through pornography. He'll get you to where you look at one little image and you reject it. One little image, reject it. One little image, reject it. And you, before too long, you're paying. It's just that garbage, and he'll hook you.
Yep.
And then once he's got you hooked, the harder you try to fight to get away from it, the more it pulls you back.
Yep.
I'm talking about a battleground of the believer.
Yep, right.
This is the battleground, friends, and we're still talking about what happened. People around the message in leadership positions should be living the life of a Christian. Living the life of a message.
Yep.
But whenever they are bobbing down and fighting and not overcoming this stuff, what in the world should the people that's following them think that they can get victory whenever they're not getting victory themselves?
Right.
Imagine how the people must have looked at the sons of Samuel and looked at and said, why should I follow these guys whenever they ain't living victorious themselves? Friends, I want to live a life worthy of the gospel.
Amen.
I know that's your desire too.
Amen.
And I did not mean to go down that road, but if the Lord speaks on you, think like, grab a hold of that, because that ain't Brother Daniel. If you're dabbling with those things, listen to me, that can be a warning from the Lord. Because
right.
He will give you mercy before judgment. There was a sister, I'll tell you, I won't tell you her name. There was a sister, I think it gives a good example, and she knows about, and she's repented of it, and I thought it worked out good. But she struggled with for watching certain movies. And she struggled with it, and said, you know what, I'll go do it, nobody will know anything about it. And she kept doing it. And she says, well, I shouldn't be watching these certain things, but I'm going to keep doing it. And they ended up putting it on the billboard on the TV show. I keep renting movies. On the billboard out there, our customer of the month. On this winning video, and watch this video, and she has one customer of the month. You get a free rental. Try hiding that.
Right.
They didn't say it, but put the title on the billboard. Oh, my gosh. They put me underneath the chair. God will give you warning sometimes to stop that.
Right.
If you don't stop that, God just might see fit to put it on a billboard.
Right.
God, don't do that to me. I want to come willingly.
Yeah.
Amen. The people were looking at circumstances, and they decided to turn their faith away from allowing God to handle the corruption and try to do it themselves. And these people had legit concerns. They were seeing things that these appointed judges that were not walking according to the prophet. And where they went wrong with is they turned their faith away from God and tried to sell it another way and said, well, I'm just going to make a king and we'll do it ourselves. And they lost God's favor.
Yep.
Listen to me. What they should have done was stand still and say, God, I have faith in you. You straighten it out. Help me, Lord. Help me to stay true to you, and you straighten it out. Because it's not our job to straighten it out.
Right.
You say amen?
Right.
You ever went there and said, I'm going to straighten it out, and you pull the sleeves back, and all you do is make things worse? But if you will stay back and say, God, I'm going to put it in your hands, you straighten it out.
Right.
And listen to me, if it's children and your parents, pray to God. Say, God, straighten my children, straighten my parents out. I want my parents to be right.
Right.
And if it's your ministry, pray for your ministry. Paul said, pray for me, that I will know what I can speak, that I can hear the mystery of heaven, that I can give it to you in a way that you can understand it.
Right.
We should pray for our parents. We should pray for our ministry. Lord, help my ministry to keep this thing straight.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you what, how many of you fight battles? How many of you get tripped up during the week? I'm going to tell you something. Your ministry is 10 times more. That devil will come in like a flood of trying, of disappointments, of doubt, of fearing, of should, am I making a difference? Am I doing anything? Is it worth it? Should I keep pressing on? Should I not keep pressing on? Should I keep doing that? The same battles you fight, your ministry fights those same battles inside that. But you know what? Whenever you've got a body that prays and say, God, keep the man straight. Help him to hear the mystery from you, Lord. Help him to be able to say it to me in a way that I can understand it, Lord. Because you know what? Brother Tony's been preaching a lot here lately about unity.
Yeah.
I'm doing that. Brother and sister, when we can pray for ministry, that Lord help me, and I'm going to say this, and even in the down to the musicians, if you play the drums, may it be every time you take that stick and you hit the drum, that it's in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Every time you go to hit the piano, it's in the name of the Lord. Because listen to me, when you're doing it in the name of the Lord and you've got God's blessing on it, brother and sister, God can bless the service.
Right.
You know what? It's down to the small things. Sister, when you're cooking the eggs and you take that egg and you flip that egg, you want to do it in the name of the Lord. I want to do this simplicity, small thing down. I want to do this as a blessing for the Lord. Because
yeah.
Listen to me, the devil will start at small things to start corruption down to the eggs. He'll start down to something to where I even bless God, I'll make these eggs. With a stinky attitude. Brother Daniel from eggs, yep. He'll start something small, a something simple egg to start with a bad attitude with that. And you know what? It's just like mice. They spread. And bad attitude is so corruptible. You get around somebody with bad attitude and you stick around them very long, guess what? You'll start having a bad attitude. That's right. You listen, you get around somebody who likes to run everybody down out. You may, at first you may resist, but after a while, guess what you're doing? Run everybody down.
Right.
You know, it starts down to the small things. God, help me down to the small things, Lord, that I'm doing it wholly as doing it for you.
Right.
When I'm flipping these eggs in the name of the Lord, God, doing it for you. When I used to mop floors, brother and sister, they were the cleanest floors you ever saw because I was doing it in the name of the
Amen.
Lord.
Right.
If I can do that in mopping floors, how much more when I'm worshiping God, when I go to church, whenever I'm serving my brothers and my sisters?
Right.
I want to do it.
Right.
I am a Lord where I'm blessed.
Right.
And sometimes it pays to give the cook a little compliment on the back and say, you know what, Sister Catherine, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Brother Tim, I don't mean to throw you under the boat, brother. We're brothers. Catherine, that's terrible. I have done it too, brother. I have to say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that.
Right.
My wife cooked a meal sometimes, and it's like, how do you like it? I haven't arrived yet. I haven't arrived yet. I say, maybe it's good. I think a lot of that might be PTSD from the pork roast from years ago. Years ago, my wife and I, we went to a marriage enrichment seminar, and this marriage enrichment seminar, it was... They had this good talk, and you got to get things off your chest. And I told my wife, I said, baby, I said, we need to talk. Over to a real nice place with water and everything. And I'm sitting there talking to her, and I said, I got to get something off my chest. I got to tell you this. And she said, what have you done? I said, the pork roast you make, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. It's disgusting. I can't stand it. And for years, I've been telling her, it's my favorite meal. It's my favorite meal. It's my favorite meal. My favorite meal. I hated this stuff. Well, maybe that's why I don't like to tell her anything's not good. So I guess there's a balance in that. But what are you trying to say, Brother Daniel? It's whenever you can help someone be encouraged in the things that they're doing, is saying, you know what, you are making a difference, and it's helping. And you know, Brother Tony, we're going to say it together. Thank you, brother. You say amen. Brother, there's time, Brother Tony may be going through a time. He says, you know, am I making a difference? Sisters in the kitchen, you may ask yourself sometimes, am I making a difference? Making the peas, making this? I want you to do something for me. Look down. Is it making a difference? Brother Tony, sometimes you may feel like you're not making a difference. I'm going to ask you, how many of you still alive?
Amen.
How many of you still moving forward? Brothers and sisters, sometimes it may not be because you can't do the wow every single time, because if it's a wow dinner every time, it gets common. That's why sometimes we'll have to go like this and do beep, beep, beep. But the main thing is it getting you the nourishment that you need? Is it getting you the greens that you need? Is it getting you the vitamins that you need? Are you keeping your hair? Some of us are, Brother Tim. My goodness, this sounds like a roasting service, ain't it? Brother, I have to be careful because when I fix my hair, it's getting bald right up here. Real fast. It's making a difference. Sisters, you're making a difference. When you make those meals for us, it's making a difference. Listen to me. Song singers, when you're singing your songs, am I making a difference? Let me tell you, you are making a difference. Because there'll be some times whenever the Lord will lay something on your heart to sing that song, and that devil put everything in the world to trip you up, to keep you from singing that song, to discourage you. People don't want to hear you. People want to do that. But whenever you're doing that, that's when you know this is God.
Yeah.
Because God will not trip you up. The devil's the one tripping you up because he knows you're fixing to make a difference.
Right.
Listen to me, you may not play music at all. You may just go to church. But I'm going to tell you something. When you sit beside that pew, you are making a difference.
Right.
Amen.
Don't let the devil make you think, well, I've got to go look for a king. I've got to go do something different. Sometimes you got to look at what you've got right here and say, Lord, help me to be more effective in my position. Amen. Brother Tim, I am sorry, brother. The service ain't over yet, buddy. He said, that one over the chimney. I didn't say which one.
I said, no deal.
Many have left the message after seeing the corruption around the message. And they've went to go look for a king in other nations. And a majority of the signs of the message have fallen down. Brother Brim talked about this. You know, you know the best sign on a liquor store is? It's not the building with plywood on the side of it. It's the people walking out of it. You see the way, the effect that it's having on the people. And the best sign we have on a church is the people. It's the way that we conduct ourselves. Amen. We are the sign of this message. Amen. We are the sign that this message is still alive. See that?
Right.
I said something today. The devil come to me and said, you know what? What if all this is in vain? What if it's all fake? I still love him. It has nothing to do with it. Right. I serve the Lord not because I have a beautiful wife, not because I have beautiful children, not because I have a beautiful church. Because you know what? Every bit of that can be taken away.
Right.
I don't serve him because I have a good job. That can be taken away. I don't serve him because we have a pool. I don't even care for the pool, really. Sometimes it feels good. That can be taken away. Right. Everything in this life can be taken away. Why do you do it? Because I love him. Right. And friend, that's where the prophet said, even if he was to cast me into hell, I believe I'd love him. Yeah. I don't serve him because my children serve. I don't do it because my children serve the Lord. That can be taken away.
Right.
Has nothing to do with it. I don't do it because I do it because I love him. My wife does things because she loves me. Maybe not because she agrees with me on everything. There's some things that maybe she don't agree with what I do. You know what? Listen to what the angel's trying to say to you. There's some things in the message you may not agree with. Is that okay? There might be some things I don't agree with. I don't understand it. But you don't do it because you necessarily agree with it. You do it because you love him.
Right.
Amen. There are some things that I don't understand. There are certain things about the message I don't understand. If you find somebody that says, I understand it all, I'd be afraid of that person.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Because you know what? Yeah, it's right. It is an open book, but that don't mean we've got it all yet. Yeah. Friends, it's not right because we're right. It's right because he's right.
Amen.
And I love him. Yeah. And because we have him inside us, we're fixing to get to that in just a minute where the prophet talks about that. A lot of people like the message because they like being right. It has nothing to do with loving the Lord.
Right.
They like to be right. Mm-hmm. They like to be able to win an argument. Brother and sister, this message is not to argue about.
No.
You get a bunch of ministers sitting around the table and they start doing that junk, I get up and I leave.
Right.
I'll go get my cup of coffee, or as Brother Ben Norrod would say, take my ball and go home, so to speak. I'll take my coffee cup and I'll go home because I have no desire to argue.
Right.
I love it. Just like I love my wife. I know you feel the same way. We're still talking about stay with the message.
Right.
Don't go after a king. Stay with the message. The majority of the signs have fallen down. And the sign of the church is the way the people walk out of church, day in and day out.
Right.
And when the prophet was in South Africa, and this is what Roy spoke to me when I first came to the Lord, when he went to South Africa, he didn't have to preach about people, put your clothes on. They were naked. But when that presence come down, the people began to cover themselves automatically.
Right. Yeah.
What was it? There was a holiness that come down. There was a presence that come down.
Yeah.
And when that presence is there, you automatically start covering yourself. And friends, the devil will try so hard to take that presence away little by little by little by little until you got to the point that you haven't had the presence of God so long, you don't even know what it feels like anymore. The devil will try to do this. He will come against you to try to take your sensitivity away from the presence of the Lord. And that is how the foolish virgin will find herself stumbled in the great tribulation period. It's because she'd gone too long neglecting, neglecting, neglecting. What do you mean neglecting, Brother Daniel? It's whenever you have something irking, knocking inside your heart that I need more of God. I need a move of the Holy Ghost. I need this. I give a groaning on the inside of it, and you put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off. And the next thing you know, you don't even have that pull anymore.
Right.
It's not because you got right. It's because you killed the voice. Yeah. Brother Brown talked about the dog The gold prospector. The gold prospector was out there. He was going for gold, and him and this dog had such a good relationship that whenever time a bobcat would come up or something, the dog would alert him to tell him, hey, the bobcat, there's something coming against you, and he would listen to that dog. He paid attention to that dog, but what happened? He ended up getting a hold of some gold. And then once he got that gold, that dog began to growl and bark. He said, you know what? Hush up, dog. I don't need you anymore. I'm a prosperous man now. And he kept walking along, and the dog got more fierce, growling and barking. He said, shut up, dog. He said, I'm going to the city, and if you want to go with me, you better shut up. That dog kept growling and snarling over and over. And finally, he shot the dog, went to his house, went to sleep, and had no idea, but the thief was following him, and the man ended up coming in and killing him and taking his gold. You say, Brother Daniel, that sounds like a kid's story. Listen to me, that's exactly what the devil's been doing, friends.
Right.
He will try to kill that voice. That voice that cries out and growls and speaks and tries to tell you, get away from those things. Stop doing those things. Stop doing those things. And you can keep shutting that voice up, shutting that voice up, shutting that voice up until you shoot the dog. And then no longer, then now you can keep doing the things. Listen to what Brother Daniel said. There's many people that have left the message of and it said, you know what? I have more freedom now than I ever have. Of course you do. You shot the dog. You killed the dog. You come to the point, I could dress any way I want to, and I feel nothing wrong. Absolutely. You shot the dog.
Yep.
You're in such danger and don't even know it.
Right.
The devil's agenda is to get each and every one of us in that position to where we shoot the dog.
Yep.
These people were walking under the prophet, and when Moses was with them, even in the Old Testament, Moses was with them. They saw what God was doing, delivering them.
Yep.
But what did they do? Grumble and complain at the prophet. Grumble and complain, said, you know what? We should have been better off staying where we were. What were they doing? Shooting the dog. I want to encourage you. Don't shoot the dog. Feed it.
Yeah.
Feed that dog.
Amen.
Make that dog feel welcome. Amen. You feel like that dog is going over to the neighbor's house, you better get something to drink and keep him home. Because he's your greatest friend.
Yeah.
We got a dog in our house. She's one of our greatest friends. She's got a tooth in her head. Maybe one or two. We've talked about putting her down. I just like, baby girl, I get teary-eyed just talking about it. And I hate the dog. I say that, but I think I love it. I gave her a bath the other night. A dog is something special. You can have a good dog. You can have a bad dog. You get a bad dog, it may be good all the days of its life. But all it takes is once. My dad had a dog named Bear. Big old black dog. You see this hole in my forehead? Bear. Me and my brothers thought it'd be a good idea to go feed him one day. We got some dog food. We heated it up over a fire. Took it over and had a barbed wire fence. I reached down there and I was going to feed that dog. Hey, Bear. Hey, Bear. And he grabbed a hold of my face and pulled me under the fence and went to go to work on me. My brother grabbed my feet and pulled me out. Probably saved my life. We were feeding something. And this thing looked innocent, pure, just a big baby, Sister Mary. She's got a big dog, too. It's her baby. This bear looked, I'm telling you, looked just as friendly as can be. Dad said he's just a big baby. Listen to what Brother Dan is trying to tell you. There's spirits, friends, that will come against, and they will come innocently. They will look like there's nothing wrong with them. And what Satan will try to get you to do is to feed them. Little by little by little, you feed those spirits. And when a moment when you don't expect it, that's when that spirit's going to grab a hold of you.
Yep, right.
How do I know, Brother Daniel, if it's the right spirit? Listen to what Brother Daniel's saying. If it's according to the Bible. If it goes against the Bible, stay away from it because it's not the Holy Spirit. It is an evil spirit.
That's right.
We live in a day-to-day when we... And Brother Benham's services, how many times you hear catch spirits cast out? Spirit after over and over and over and over. Are all those things passed? Spirits not get on people anymore? Absolutely they get on people still.
Yeah,
spirits will get on people, and think about it, when you get a spirit on it, you don't even know you have a spirit on you.
Right.
You have no idea. You're oblivious to it. I could go to my brother Ben and talk about the wife. And pull my wife back into it. Brother Ben talked about this man that his wife wasn't serving the Lord like she should. He said, Brother Branham, he said, I went to her, went over to my wife, so gentle. Satan, come out of her! And this man was chasing his poor wife around the house, trying to cast Satan out. That sounds funny. This man did that. I'm not saying the woman didn't have a spirit on her, but you ain't going to cast nothing out like that. You know what Brother Branham said he did to her? Buy her some chocolates. Be sweet to her. You do something nice for her, and you will find out how you can bring sweetness inside that home and that woman. There's a lot of times, many times in the message homes, we think we got to do something spiritual. Listen to what Brother Dan is telling you this morning. There's a lot of times, you don't even got to be spiritual, be sweet. If you will concentrate on being sweet, having the right spirit, you will find out you will be so much more effective. Amen. And you will reach your children so much better. Amen. If you come against your children, I go to my Hannah every day of her life and tell her how wrong she is. Hannah, you're too tall. Your feet stink. Your hair is curly. You got too brown of eyes. Your nose is too big. You got perfectly fine nose. That is anything but feet. If I go against this girl, and she don't have bad feet. If I go against this girl, and every time she sees me, all I do is tell her what's wrong with her. You know what's going to happen? She will not want me around me anymore. Right. She will not want to be around me anymore. And listen to me, brothers and sisters, as mothers and fathers. If when you're around your children, and if all you do is tell them what's wrong, they will not want to be around you. You want to get them to be around you? That don't mean you have to agree with everything that they do. You know how you get them around you? Be sweet to them. Amen. Encourage them in the things that they're doing right. Speak the things they're doing. Hey, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of seeing what God's doing in your life. I'm so proud of you. And you begin to feed on that, brother and sister, you will reach that child. And that child will want to be around you again. Because listen to me, you have all the mechanics inside you to be the best mom, the best dad, the best uncle that you could possibly be. All inside you. It's all there, brother and sister, but sometimes it takes a little bit of tweaking. Right. If we are critical all the time, you will be a critical person. And you'll be a bitter person.
That's right.
I won't be a bitter person, neither do you. Amen?
No.
I'm not saying Brother Daniel has all the answers. This is the goal. Amen.
Right.
Sweetness, brother and sister, you will accomplish so much more with sweetness.
Amen.
That's where I hate Facebook to the point where I see people that have the message that they can put stuff out there. And some of the stuff may be right, but it's their demeanor that they put out there, and they do more harm than they do good.
Right.
And listen to me, when we carry the wrong demeanor about us, you can have the right message, but if your spirit's wrong and your demeanor's wrong, you are not helping. You are making things worse. Listen, in the Civil War, the surgeons caused more deaths than the gunshots. You know why? Because they had dirty tools. And these men that were there, they would have been better off if they never had the surgeon ever come around. They say that the president, Abraham Lincoln, if they would have left him alone, he'd probably live. They say it's because they went to work on him trying to tweak on something and they end up killing him. In the Civil War, there are more people that died because of dirty tools. And listen to what Brother Daniel said around the message. There has been more damage done because so many people think they're a surgeon when go in there and start hacking on people, working on people with dirty tools, dirty hands, right. And they cause more damage than they do good.
Right.
If you feel mad in your heart to go talk to somebody, God works on both ends.
Right.
And then God will bring an edification to that when he does that. God brings a healing balm inside that. But when somebody goes with their head knowledge and their fist, I'm going to straighten this thing out. Dirty hands.
Yeah, right.
And you'll cause more harm than good.
Yeah, right.
God had good intentions. But we want to do it God's way.
Yeah.
Because if you'll wait, there have been times. I've got kids. I got four of them. There have been times mom would tell me what they've done and they did what? Sorry, Anna. She's probably the sweetest of the bunch, and I'm using around all of them. I wanted a side by side for years. Years. I wanted a side by side. Wanted a side by side. Wanted a side by side. And they said, Hannah and Malachi, or Elijah, wreck your side by side. my first reaction to come to my mind from the devil was, blah! But thank the Lord pulled back and said, wait. And began to wait and wait and wait. And I think it was 3 or 4 days before I even talked to him about it. And I think they can testify. Never raised my voice. Not angry. Probably was. Didn't present it. Did it. Say, Lord, help me to approach this in the right way.
Right.
And I feel like it probably brought a greater connection between us, because what I could have done and what I did. Listen to me, there will be times when somebody will do you wrong. Now, she didn't do wrong. Talk about different subject, okay? There will be times in this life where somebody will do you wrong. And you have every right in the world to lash out. And when you do that, you will regret it. You will cause damage. You will cause hurt. You will cause filth to get in that wound. But if you will wait on the Lord and say, Lord, help me to approach this thing the way you want me to approach this. And you wait for God's time to do that. God will instruct you in a way of being so precision in doing it. And God will follow up with a healing balm on the backside of that. Brother Daniel's telling you this because I'm telling you, around the message, friends, a lot of people that have left is because they have been hurt.
Right.
It's because things were done in the wrong way with dirty hands.
Right.
And with good intentions, they say, you know what, I'll leave this and I'll go to another king over here. They are not the enemy. Satan's enemy.
No.
And the thing for us to do in this it has to be the sweet balm. Every time that they're around us, that we will have a healing balm around us, a warm balm around us of love and welcoming. You ever, who knows what I'm talking about, a warm balm? You ever had that? You ever had a warm rock put on your back? Oh, yeah. That feels good. That's exactly the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a warm rock. That God can take you and someone else that's hurt. They can take you and you can be that warm balm for somebody else.
Amen.
And God will use you. But you ever take someone, take a cold rock and put it on their back?
What are you going to do when I put a cold rock on you, buddy?
Probably punch me in the nose, huh? He's going to go. You know, it's not going to be a good experience.
Right.
We are to be a warm rock. And Brother Daniel has said this so many times over the years. I pray that people understand what I say. Is I love a fiery service. When I say a fire, it's not shouting. So you can shout, that's fine. The warmth I'm talking about is the warmth of the fire I'm talking about is the warmth of the Holy Ghost burning in the hearts of the people's hearts.
Amen.
I love a fiery service. When you leave, that fire is still warm. Friends,
right.
That's what God has called us to be, is to be that warm rock. That way your loved one or your friend, that person that's lost, you can be the one that can bring the comfort to them. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to tell somebody they can, a warm rock's been put on their back. When I hurt my back, the physical therapist had a warm rock. I had my shirt pulled up on the back. She didn't have to tell me the warm rock was there. I knew it was there. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to tell somebody we got the message of the hour. You don't have to tell somebody we've got the Holy Ghost. You don't have to tell them. People will know it. They can feel it. They can see it. Friends, at this church, may that be the missions of this church for the coming year. That,
amen.
Lord, help this church be a warm rock.
Amen.
To where when someone comes through those doors, we don't see the things that's wrong with them. We don't see none of that stuff. That's my brother. That's my sister. And whenever we are all around them, it's a warm rock. You know what a rock is? It's a revelation.
Yep.
We don't want to have just a bunch of cold message books. We want the warm revelation of what this message can be.
Right.
Amen.
You know, I told my children, I told Malachi the other night, I'd love to get back to my notes, but I was talking to Malachi the other night, because you know, he's in the process of, he's in the transition of changing from one job to another, and he's like, so you get frustrated with it. I know what that's like.
Yeah.
You're doing all the right things. You're trying to do things right. You're trying to do that, and things just ain't aligning.
Yeah.
And you're trying to do that. I said, you know why God will do that sometimes? It's because God wants you to know the God of your father and the God of your mother. Because you have to go through the same circumstances that we'll come through, that we have gone through sometimes, where we don't know what we're going to do other than cry out to God.
Amen.
And say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not going with the strength of my bow. I'm not going with the strength of my arm. God, I need your favor. And whenever you cry out to God, say, God, help me. Give me your favor, God. I don't know how I'm going to move this mountain. Brother Tim sung about it. I got a mountain right here. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. The only thing you can do is cry out to God and say, God, I need you to move this mountain.
Amen.
And God may not move it all at once. Sometimes you got to cry a while. Sometimes you got to seek him a while. Sometimes you got to get desperate a while. But you know what Brother Benham said? Sometimes you might be a chicken flopping on the floor like a dead chicken, and whatever it takes, press through. You know, when you're praying, don't just say, oh, God, I ask you to help me. That's it. No, get in depth. Get lost in your prayer with God. God, I need you. I need you to help me, God. Move this mountain, God. Get in a spirit of prayer. When you get in the spirit of prayer, say, God, help me. Help me. And all of a sudden, you'll start feeling curtains move out of the way. What is it? You're getting a little deeper. Oh, God, I ask you to help me. Move this mountain, God. I need a move of the Holy Ghost, God. Move it, God. And you're going through another curtain. What are you talking about, Brother Neil? Get in the spirit of prayer. You know what? Whenever we will do that, brother and sister, you'll see mountains begin to move.
Right.
But the lie is because we don't do that. We say, God, I ask you to help the Lord. I'm just trusting the Lord. No, you do trust in the Lord, but you know what? There's a perseverance that God will put, just like a woman trying to give birth to a baby. She can just sit this wall and just wait on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. At some point, you've got to push. At some point, you got to work with the contractions. Because when you work with the contractions, you're able to push and deliver this thing out of you that you love so much. And that's exactly how prayer is. God will put the contractions in your heart when you're burdened about somebody, or you're burdened about this thing you've got going on. You're burdened, you're burdened, you're burdened. Work with the burden. Work according to the burden. When you're praying and get your Bible and reading your Bible, say, Lord, help me with this thing that you're working with, God. As an individual walk, Lord, help me.
Right.
You're in that delivery room. You can't go by what that woman's doing over there. It's your delivery.
Right.
Hello.
Right.
You can't do it with what your neighbor's doing. They're doing. This is your birth. This is your delivery. And you got to work with your delivery. And a lot of times you want somebody to help you. Lord, help them. Have somebody come help me do this. Sometimes it's because they can't help you. It's something you got to do. You got to birth through this thing. Because you know what? That little chick that's trying to get out of that shell, if you help it, it'll die. And there's a lot of times you'll be going through a trial. God wants you to fight through this trial.
Amen. Right.
God wants you to be the expression of a believer today. And the only way you can be an expression of a believer today is you have to have an obstacle in front of you.
Right.
To be the champion, you've got to fight the champion.
Right.
It can't be these fake claws where you can't knock me down in the concrete. Or I'm going to box you, I'm going to be a world champion, but you can't hit me too hard. That devil's going to come at you with his best. You know why? Because God wants to beat him at his best through you.
Right.
God wants you to believe. As Brother Tony said here a while back, and I thought it was absolutely profound, when God created the earth, he didn't have a single thing to encourage him.
Right.
Not a thing. All he had to do, all he could do, is believe.
Right.
I want to ask you something. When he said those words, how many of you jumped out of your seat and just clapped your hands and kicked your heels? Me neither. Because when you're going through words like that, they don't make you want to shout. I love to shout more probably anybody in this room. I shout. I got a loud mouth. I got a big mouth. I use it. But I'll tell you something. It's words like that, brother and sister, that will get you through the trial.
Yeah. Right.
There ain't nobody loves to show, jump, and shout. Well, not you. But there's sometimes it's not through the trial. Sometimes it's not through the loud voice that God speaks. Sometimes it will be just a still, small voice that God will speak to you. And simple obedience to that voice, God will bless you abundantly. I'll give you a perfect example. Peter was out fishing all night long, had absolutely no success, absolutely failing. no success whatsoever. This was a man that knew fish. He knew how to catch fish. All the other fishermen around him, they knew how to catch fish. This was their livelihood. They knew what to do, and they know when fish ain't biting. Jesus went to them, and he said, go out to the deep and catch it one more time. He could have sat there and argued with the Lord and said, I ain't doing it. I'm a trained fisherman. There ain't no fish out there. He could have done that, and he would have missed the blessing. But you know what he did? He obeyed the voice. A simple command. He listened to that command. And when he listened to that command, he went out there and he cast his net. And he caught so much fish that it broke his nets. Had enough to fish to feed the people around him. What was it? Simple obedience. To an instant. When God spoke to him, he instantly obeyed. And God met the need.
Right.
I'm going to give you a testimony here. Real quickly. I won't give you all of it, but just a quick glimpse of it. My wife and I have had a mountain in front of us. To where we didn't know how in the world we're going to conquer this mountain. That's in front of us. Absolutely had no idea how we're going to do it. Like giants breathing down our neck. I'm doing everything I can to sell the car, do the things I'm doing, and things just ain't working. And we talked about that exact scripture I'm talking about. Just told you that. And I told her, we talked about that scripture that night before. I said, you know what? We got this mountain before us, and I don't know how we're going to accomplish this thing. I don't know how we're going to do it. I said, but what we need to do, and we in agreement said, we need to just take this before the Lord in simple obedience and say, Lord, your word says, we have need of this mountain to be moved out of the way. And I don't want to, I know you can just give us the finances to do it. You can do it. It can be gone just like that. But I ask you to meet this need for us, Lord. Help us. And it wasn't even 10 days later. I was at work. My wife texts me and says, hey, I need you to call me immediately as soon as you get this message. Oh, my gosh, what happened? Call her up and say, hey, what's going on? She said, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? She said, they just gave me a promotion. I said, what? She said, yeah. She said, I said, okay. I said, how much is the promotion? And she told me, okay. The Lord said, and the Lord told us, I said, you ask, but we told the Lord, said, Lord, they told her, they said, you figure out what you want to get paid, and tell us what you want to get paid, and we'll see if we can do it. And during our prayer, when we prayed that, we prayed for a number. Which said, and it sounds stupid. Like, there's no way you can get that. There's no way you're going to get this. It's impossible. But we said, we prayed. We said, Lord, I'm laying it in your hands. He said, I'm praying. I'm laying it in your hands, Lord. It's yours. God, I commit it to you. This is yours. I give it to you, Lord. And I talked to my wife. I said, well, we should ask for that number. She agreed. She said, that's what I think, too. That's what we prayed for. Let's ask for it. It absolutely looks impossible. We go to them, and she said, all right, what's your number? And she told us her number, which is just a little bit less. And I said, well, that's not quite what we were thinking. And she said, well, hang on a minute. And come back with her offer, and it was $2,000 more than what our offer was that we wanted.
Right.
Impossible. There's no way that would happen. Well, we prayed them, we said, I'm still kind of numb. She is too. Impossible. This mountain has been breathing down our necks for so long, so long, so long. And finally we said, you know what? Why are we letting this thing breathe down our necks? Let's just go to God for this and say, God, I'm not going hindered. It's simple obedience to your word, Lord. We're asking you to give it to us, and I ask you to give it to me. And God moved the mountain. Listen, and Brother Dan, if God can do that for us, what can God do for you? We ask you, when have you really sincerely went before God saying, God, I need you to move the mountain. I need you to move it. Sometimes God don't do it all at once. Sometimes, brother and sister, you got to cry for a while. How long has it been since Brother Daniel passed out on the parking lot? 2 years? 3 years? 3 years. It's been breathing down our necks. A bill that's so high, I don't know how they're going to pay it. 3 years breathing down our necks. And it's been bothering me because I don't want to owe anybody any money. Don't want to do it. And neither do I. If God can do it for me, what can he do for you? Brother Daniel, what are you talking about? Friends, we are at the end of this year. Services have been given to us over and over and over that you got to have faith. You got to believe God. You got to take things at his word. You got to do these things. Listen to me. I'm trying to put my shoulder to the wheel to show you the monsters that Satan's trying to present before you to breathe down your neck. I'm pleading with you. Don't be afraid. Stand up. And that dog may be this tall. Because you know what? That dog I'm looking at, it might be right here with you. But you got that dog right in your face. It's scary and it's snarling. There's sometimes it makes you afraid. Stand still. Stand up and look at it and say, in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. And in the
right.
midst of that, friend, don't let that devil bring bitterness. Because I'm telling you something, whenever you're going through something and things are not going your way, it leaves opportunity for bitterness to rise inside your heart. And you won't be around your brothers anymore. You won't be around your sisters anymore. You won't be around them anymore. What is that? The devil.
Right.
Devil trying to cut you off, cut you off, cut you off, cut you off, and get you alone to where you're all by yourself and you're alone. Listen to me, that's the worst thing you can ever do. When you start feeling depressed, listen to me, depression will cut you away from everybody. The best way to get out of that depression is to spring yourself right through that bubble. That devil's fighting. You think they're in a devil? Whenever that depression tries to come against you and it tries to come against you, there's like a bubble going through it. The best thing you can do is push yourself through that bubble, sit down with somebody, and maybe you ain't got nothing to say. Just sit there. But when you get around there and you start listening to people talking to one another, all of a sudden their fire, their licks of fire, their presence, you'll feel that thing start to push away from you. What is it? Fellowship. I'm telling you something, there is such a healing that can come from fellowship.
Right.
Whenever you're around, you got just husband and wife, you can have fellowship. Me and my wife, she is honestly my best friend. She feels the same way about me, at least I hope so. We have good fellowship. And there's great things that happen. I'm going to tell you something. We get around other brothers and sisters, it's even more. It's where you put fire. But listen, Brother Daniel, what they're trying to tell you, that Satan will try to keep you out of fellowship. Because when you keep you out of fellowship, out of loop, that's when he begins to chase your mind. They're saying, they didn't even shake my hand. They don't care about me. They don't think about me. They think I'm bald. I think you have very nice hair. Brother Tim's going to rub it on me big time when this stuff starts going away, Lord. But I'm going to hide it as long as I can. Listen, Brother Tim, I pray that this is making sense what I'm trying to say to you. If you will wait on the revelation, wait for God to move that mountain. Don't try to build a calf. Don't try to do this. Wait on the revelation and say, God, I'm staying with the message. I'm not going to the left. I'm not going to the right. I may not feel like jumping. I may not feel like shouting, but I know this is right. And brother and sister, if you will stay with what's right and keep moving forward, then in God's time, there's some time you're going to get things that you don't understand about the message. Listen to what Brother Daniel's saying. There will be things about this message you won't understand. Listen to me. You are not the only one. The devil will try to capitalize on that. On what you don't understand, and he'll try to get you. What's he trying to do? Get you on the doubt. To doubt, get on doubt, thinking about doubt, think about doubt. If you think about stuff that you don't understand all the time, you know what you'll come? You'll become a doubter.
Okay.
Put it on the shelf. Right. And say, you know what? I may not understand it, but I love it. Listen to me. I may not understand it, but I love it.
Right.
Capitalize on your love for the Lord. And in God's time, he'll make you understand. There's sometimes we may not understand until we get to the side. Am I the only one that understand what I'm saying? How many of there's things about the message? I just don't understand it. Absolutely. But you know what? I don't capital on what I don't understand. There's things about my wife I don't understand. Hello? I don't mean it jokingly. There are things about my wife that I don't understand. But you know what? I love her. There are things about God that I don't understand. I can look at that and seeing the situation with Samuel's sons and seeing the prophet. I can look at that and say, I don't understand that. I don't understand that by man's thinking. But when God will dive you into that, he'll say they're doing the same things that their father did in the wilderness. Because in the wilderness, rather than waiting for Moses to come down with the Ten Commandments, what did they do? With the revelation. Rather than waiting for the revelation, they built the calf because they got too impatient. And that's exactly what these people were doing whenever they were seeing the sin that was taking place. Rather than waiting for the revelation of God to do what he wants to do, they tried to do it themselves. And listen to me, that's exactly what's happening right now. Don't let the devil try to get you to settle for building a calf. Stay and wait for the revelation. Say, God, I need you, Lord. I need your same spirit. Paul, whenever Paul went to Arabia and got the revelation, he started preaching. He preached the same message the disciples were preaching. Why? It was the same spirit. That's what Brother Daniel is trying to say. I'm closing right now. Concentrate on getting the right spirit. Stay with the right spirit. I love Brother Tony, but I don't want Brother Tony's spirit. And Brother Tony don't want me to have his spirit. I love you. I know you love me. You don't want my spirit. We want his spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Because when the church can take the pastor's spirit. We don't want the pastor's spirit. We want his spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
So stupid. I literally got to page 2 out of like 18 on there, so I'm not even going to try. And ending this service, I want to. Brother Tim, go ahead and come forward, brother. And ending this service, I want to just lay something on my heart for you, okay? Communion is one of the greatest and most honorable things that we can do, in my opinion, is communion. And whenever you take it worthily, you will leave blessed. You will have an increase that will take over in your life. You will, when you take the bread with the sincerity of taking the bread, and you say, Lord, with the best of my ability, I'm taking this and I'm applying it to my life, Lord, the best that I can do. When you do it worthily, brother and sister, that's the greatest blessing you can ever have. When you take the wine and you say, Lord, this is your spirit, and you're taking that, not in just a quick service, but you're doing it with a reverential, Lord, I'm doing this by your spirit, Lord. I'm doing this communion because this is what I'm doing on a daily walk, week in and week out. I'm hearing the word and I'm applying it to my life, Lord. Lord, help me to do that. Listen to me, when you do that, you will gain strength. But listen to me, whenever you do it unworthily, you will become sick. You will become weak. And listen to me, around the message, brother and sister, that is what has happened, why the church has become weak. In many places, it's because they're doing it unworthily. What does it mean to take it unworthily? It's when you're hearing the word, but you're trying to. God told Saul one time, you killed everything with breath. What did he do? He killed all the bad ones. He kept the sheep, kept certain ones. And Samuel come to him. He said, didn't I tell you to kill everything? He said, why do I hear bleeding of sheep in my ears? Why am I hearing oxen in the ears? You didn't follow the commandment. See, he was so, and Saul thought he followed the obedience of the Lord. Saul said, but I did. I followed the commandment of the Lord. He said, then why do I hear sheep bleeding in my ears? See, he thought that he was doing the communion right. He thought that he was doing everything right, but he was disobeying the Lord and not even realizing it. What was it? He was shooting the dog. Brother and sister, is closing this service. I want to ask this, and every one of us, in reverence before our heart before the Lord, say, Lord, help me to take the communion worthily.
Right.
Help me to not be looking off in something else, and then I'm looking at this, but Lord, help me to do this worthily for you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's end this song. This is my desire.
This is my desire.
Lord, help me right spirit. Lord, help me. Because listen for the name of Daniel. The Lord will always give you a warning before something seeks to come. And you mark Brother Daniel's words. Satan's going, he is on the rampage so hard right now to get people away from, you don't need a pastor anymore. You don't need to go to church anymore. You don't have to do this anymore. Listen what Brother Daniel's trying to tell you. I see it. Listen to the cry that I'm saying to you this morning. Satan is trying to try so hard to tell you you don't need leadership anymore. Listen to me. It's the devil. God has set a church in order. God put a fivefold ministry in place to get you towards the right direction, toward the right goal. But you know what? The best way that you can have the best results with your ministry is when it's working with you, let them work with you. If they're trying to raise your arm, let them raise your arm up. Don't resist the devil. Work with him. Don't resist the ministry. Work with him. So they've ever done it. Don't resist the ministry when the ministry's trying to work with you. Work with them. Don't resist the musicians whenever the musician or the song leader that's singing or the person that's singing the special. Don't resist them. Work with them. Work with them. Because, brother and sister, it's a body, and we're all working together. Because I'm telling you something, our goal, brother and sister, is to get to that other side. Our goal is to reach our body change. Our goal is to do that. That's why I tell my family, when you have our family, hey, we've got one goal here. I want you to succeed. And listen to me, that's the ministry's desire, is to see you succeed. So brother and sister, I want to plead with you right now, as the Spirit of the Lord is here so strong. Stomp that devil out of your life that's trying to put odd feelings and awkward feelings. Squash that devil out right here, right now. You know, one of the greatest things you can do is squash out the devil and do that is love. It's whenever a husband and wife can take one another and just squeeze each other and say, I love you. I don't want anything wrong. I don't want any kind of difference between us. And that's my heart for you. A spiritual hug to every single one of you is saying, I love you. I want no awkwardness here. Because that devil will make you think that there's awkwardness, when a lot of times there's the only awkwardness is yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I love these people so much, Lord. And Lord, it's a love that you put in my heart for them, Lord, that only you can give, Lord. And I pray that it'll never go away, Father. And Lord, I ask you that you would just walk through the aisles this morning, Lord. And Lord, you would touch everyone in your own way, Lord, and give them a hug, Lord, a spiritual hug, Father. And Lord, just that they could see how important they are to your body, Lord. Lord, that old devil will try to cause little things to rise up in their lives, Lord. And Lord, I ask you that by your blood, Lord, that they will confess that to you and say, Lord, forgive me. And we know it's gone right then, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, I ask you, Jesus, breathe that balm this morning, Lord. Would you go into every heart afresh this morning, Jesus, and let there be no bitterness rise up, no awkwardness rise up, Lord, but a genuine unity, Lord. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing that song, brother. This is my desire.
This is my desire. To honor you.
I want you to do something while I'm singing this song. I want brothers, you go to the brothers and you give them a hug. Sisters, I want you to go to the sisters. I want you to give them a hug and say, I love you. And I want nothing but love in my heart between you and I. Let's sing it to one another.
Give you praise, all that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that
instructions. And, you know, we are children of light. But then we're talking about unity and working together. And I was thinking, you look at, you take a light, maybe one, maybe let's say 10 watts of light. We now have these spotlights made out of LED that's 10 watts. Yeah, it's bright. But you take that 10 watts and make it into a laser, and you can burn things with it. And I say that because all laser light is all those wavelengths instead of going every direction. Laser gets them all together, and if you look at them, they're in unity with each other. And when they're in unity, they don't go out every direction. They become focused in one direction. And all that energy that goes out here, they're really not getting anything done. When you get it all focused down to one thing, now you can get something done with it. And that's what we are as children of light. We're children of God. When we work together in unity, you're going to see things happen. And so how many want to overcome and do a better job in your walk? Amen. So here's what you need to do. You ready? Start with doing the things that you can do. Amen. Don't worry about the things you can't do and don't know how to do. Because if you really look at it, I think most people, if you look at it, there are things in their life that they actually could do, and they're just not doing it. And what I have found out is if you will just do the things you can do, God will multiply that. Next thing you know, you're going to be doing things that you didn't think you could do. Right. I'm talking about overcoming. Right. Amen? And so that's the way it works. And so we certainly want to do that. And I was thinking there a while ago, you know, in the book of Daniel, Daniel began to pray for an answer from God. And it was 21 days. It was 3 weeks. How many of you would wait 3 weeks for an answer from God, you know? We'd get discouraged probably after a day. But Daniel started praying, and it was 3 weeks before the angel came to him and came with the answer. And I always thought it was interesting, though. The angel said, the very day that you started praying, I was commanded to come forth.
Amen.
Right? So think about it. When you pray, that answer's already started, right? But we can see in the scriptures what he said. They were over in Babylon in Persia, and the scripture said, he said, I come forth, but the prince of Persia withstood me. Let me try and translate it into something that the spirit of your nation, or the spirit of your day, God wants to come and bring answers to you, but all that has to fight through the spirits of this day and where you and the environment that you're in. But rest assured, that answer is on the way. And just keep praying, because God's going to get through all that, and you're going to get your answer that you need. That's scripture,
right?
Amen. And so I appreciate everything Brother Daniel had to say this morning.
Yeah.
Very good instructions. There's enough said this morning that the whole world could be saved if they would just listen to it. Amen. And I can't do anything about what other people do. And God's not going to ask me. I'm not going to give account on that day about what other people did. But he is going to ask me about what I do. And so, amen. Take the words that you heard this morning and just use them as a sword of the Spirit. Amen. And just swing that thing at any devil that comes at you that's contrary to God's program. Amen. Let's sing something else, Brother Ken. Amen. Just let Brother Daniel know how much you appreciate it. I know you do. And so I'll be honest with you, just like Brother Branham, you know, when somebody pats you on the back and say, I appreciate that. Now, don't do it if you don't appreciate it. Right? But if you do, let the minister know that, because it really helps him. Because there's a reason why ministry, I was wondering about myself, and I heard this here recently somewhere else when we was at some special meetings. You wonder why ministry only gets 3 or 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night. There's a reason.
Yeah, right.
Right? And because if he wakes up and then all those things.
Yeah.
Brother Dan was talking about all those things, not just your own life and your own household, but the church and everything, here it comes. And so one of the best things you can do is take that time and convert that into prayer time. Devil's going to try and put that stuff on you and make you burden down. Put it back in his face by going to the Lord in prayer. May the Lord bless each one of you.